thank you, Brittany, and I want to thank my colleagues and our guests who have joined us today and the press that are on this call. My name is Representative Dan Frankel, and I want to thank everyone for being on the line today. We scheduled this call because we are hearing both locally and as part of a nationwide problem that our Asian American communities are being attacked and maligned as somehow responsible for the COVID-19 pandemic. While ridiculous on its face, this line of thinking is dangerous, and we unfortunately know very well in my district what can happen when a community is made to be a scapegoat for society's problems. The attack on the three synagogues and the Tree of Life building in 2018 will always be remembered as a horrifying tragedy and one we must fight hard to prevent from ever happening again. But its aftermath also showed the world our solidarity and our commitment to being a diverse and welcoming place for all. We are here today to say to the Asian communities throughout Pennsylvania, we are taking this seriously and we have your back. I also want to call on all Pennsylvanians to be good neighbors and good allies during this difficult time. All of us are suffering as we work to mitigate the dangers of COVID-19. But the vulnerable among us are even more at risk as they grapple with fears that could prevent them from getting the help they need. We are joined on this call today by all of my fellow sponsors of our comprehensive legislative package to expand and strengthen hate crime laws in Pennsylvania. That includes Senator Jay Costa, Representative Ed Gainey, Senator Larry Farnese. And we also have Sergeant William Slayton from the Pennsylvania State Police and Marion Leanne, from the, who's the president of Pittsburgh's chapter of OCA, Asian Pacific American Advocates, and Brad Lassiter, the executive director of the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. Lastly, I want to acknowledge the efforts of the Anti-Defamation League in Philadelphia, which has quickly pulled together dozens of organizations to sign on to a community statement decrying the recent spike in anti-Asian racism. And with that, let me turn it over to my colleague, Senator Jay Costa, the Democratic leader in the Senate. Senator Costa.
Well, thank you very much, Representative Frankel, and thank my colleagues, Representative Gainey and Senator Farnese, and all the other guests who are joining us, folks from the State Police and the Asian Pacific American Advocates and the like. This is an important conversation. It's an important time. As my colleague and friend Dan Frankel mentioned, crimes against anyone based on their race or creed or gender, country of origin, sexual orientation are simply unacceptable, are ridiculous, and there's no place for any of this type of discrimination at any time in Pennsylvania. You know, we are in the midst of a pretty serious crisis here, and collectively we need to do more working together and ensuring that we can prevent as much as we can protecting individuals who could possibly be subject to these type of incidents. They're offensive, they're ignorant, and we have to take steps to be able to remind people that that's not who we are as a Commonwealth and as a people. So we're very pleased to be able to have this conversation and stand in lockstep, and as Dan mentioned, have your back as we move forward. Dan and I both grew up in Squirrel Hill, and you know, within blocks of the Tree of Life tragedy and the synagogues that were so horrifically impacted, and we can't let that happen, and we have to nip that type of thought in the bud. The package of legislation we've introduced is going to be able to provide, we had these conversations before, but we want to reiterate that they're going to provide our Attorney General with jurisdiction, concurrent jurisdiction on crimes of ethnic intimidation. It's going to require hate crime offenders to understand and complete diversity classes and allowing community impact statements as part of that conversation. Look also at MOPEC training, Municipal Police Officer Education Training Act training, and also investigating with respect to these types of crimes. It creates a private right of action, a private right of cause of action for civil rights violations along those lines, and really allows for the Attorney General in particular to begin a process by where they're monitoring the hate groups and the database that needs to be established, and also sharing that information with the local authorities. And finally, instituting a reporting system for our post-secondary institutions. You know, we both here, Dan and I, reside in Representative Gainey in Pittsburgh and Allegheny County, and our university community in particular, and the diversity that we have at our universities here is quite unique and wonderful, quite frankly. We know that things are going on there, but folks don't have a mechanism to monitor what's taking place there, and that's why the whole series of this particular piece of legislation, the series of bills, are very important. So we've been committed to this conversation for a long period of time. I know my colleague, Senator Farnese, has been, along with Representative Frankel, have been at the forefront of this for a long time. But this is something we need to continue to talk about, heighten awareness, and let folks know that simply this type of activity that we're hearing from our state police and they're hearing from folks around the country in this situation, the COVID-19 conversation, simply unacceptable. So thank you, Dan, very much for coordinating all of us here together, and it's back to you.
Thank you, Senator Costa. And with that, let me introduce my colleague and my neighbor, Representative Ed Gainey.
Good afternoon, everybody. How you doing? One, I want to thank Representative Franklin for putting this together. I think it's timely and I think it's needed. Secondly, I think my colleague in my state, Senator Jay Costa, did a wonderful job of explaining a lot of the legislation that's out there. But one thing that I'm glad to hear is that we also have the media on board for this conversation, because the truth of the matter is we know that we have to have legislation to enforce laws to be able to punish the level of evil that's out there when we talk about racism, bigotry, and trying to just, you know, target people with stereotype people for negative reasons. But the reality is that we can't legislate hate out of people's hearts. We can't do it. The way people feel, unfortunately, always is the beginning of their behavior. But what we can do is promote unity, and that's why I'm glad there's a lot of media outlets on here. Because we need to promote the type of unity that talks about us being Americans, whether you're African-American, Asian-American, Jewish-American, we are Americans. At the end of it all, we are Americans, and we need to function and act like and respect each other as being Americans and stop talking about one another. And in promoting that level of unity and cooperation, we'll eliminate a lot of the hate that's out there. We need to show a broader picture that we are together. There's only one enemy that we have to fight, and that's the COVID-19. We have to be together if we're going to eliminate this enemy. So today, it's not about promoting hate. It's how we promote unity and cooperation to demonstrate another level of love. If we continue to do that, then we can change not all, but some. And with the legislation that we got out there, with the partnership with the media to promote love and unity, we can get this done. But nobody should be targeted because of ethnic intimidation. That has to stop, and together we can do that.
Thank you, Representative Gainey. We have the other prime sponsor of our legislative package is Senator Larry Farnese from the city of Philadelphia. Senator Farnese.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Senator. And again, thank you, Senator Costa, Senator Gainey, for putting this all together today. Before I begin, just let me say again a special thank you to all of our first responders, our medical workers that are out there. We hope that everybody listening to this is staying safe, and we also hope that a big shout out to those folks on the front lines. We just can't say enough about what they're doing. As the representative noted, I am calling today from Pennsylvania's first Senate District, which is home to one of the largest Asian American communities in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I don't know, maybe my experience was the same as a lot of my colleagues, is that when the news of the coronavirus broke and social distancing measures began to be put in place, one of the first things we began to get was not about essential businesses or courts or unemployment, but sadly the first calls that I started receiving, the first urgent calls, were from leaders of the Asian American community who were frightened by the words coming out of, quite frankly, our national leadership and the reaction that it was creating in the community. We know that fear can produce unreasonable and unfortunate reactions in certain segments of our society, and the group of people on this call have been leaders in the effort to combat those reactions here in the Commonwealth. You know, we would think that this work would get easier over time, given the diversity of our Commonwealth and the tremendous education efforts that we've taken and have been undertaken, of course, by this administration. But as I think Representative Frankel and others have noted, the fact is that we've taken a turn backwards over the past couple of years, and we have to dig in and work harder. One of the bill packages, one of the pieces that we're going to be putting together is Senate Bill 947, which is intended to recognize that unfounded hate does exist in our society, targeting not only ethnicity, race and nationality, but has spread to vulnerable minorities that cross ethnic and racial crimes. Crimes fueled by these by hate, and I've said this so many times, and you know, I can't remember how many times we've done this, Representative Frankel, in the media center about this, and Representative Sims and others. But you know, we know that these crimes are fueled by hate, and they deserve special attention, I think, in our body of laws, because we have seen, especially through the spread of social media, that a tiny band of hateful manipulative people can spread their violence and fuel it. So I think we're sending a message today that this is not going to be tolerated, that we know that hate certainly does not take a pause during COVID-19, and neither are attempts to eradicate it in Pennsylvania. So I'm happy to be joined today by my colleagues, and look forward to getting this package to the governor's desk and signed into law. It has certainly been far too long to wait. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Senator Farnese. You know, while we have this package of legislation, you know, waiting to get a hearing in Harrisburg and vote, there are things we can do. And I'm so grateful to the Pennsylvania State Police who are taking this potential threat seriously against the Asian American community. We always rely on them. And here, on behalf of the Pennsylvania State Police, we have Sergeant William Slayton to speak. Sergeant Slayton?
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lieutenant William Slayton, and I am the commander of the Heritage Affairs Section within the State Police Equality and Inclusion Office. The Heritage Affairs Section is an entity within the Pennsylvania State Police that works with federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies, as well as community organizations, in an effort to both respond to, monitor, and mitigate hate and bias type crime that occurs throughout the state. Representative mentioned the Tree of Life Synagogue shooting earlier. My office responded to that shooting, and it was a very traumatic scene, motivated by simply nothing but hatred toward a certain demographic. And we definitely don't want to see anything like that against the Asian community. The Asian community members can rest assured that any report of hate or bias that comes to the state police is going to be investigated thoroughly. We're not going to dismiss any allegation, no matter how minuscule they may perceive it is. We have troopers and call takers that have access to multiple languages. So if Asian community member, if English is not their first language, we have the capability to communicate with them in different languages. We have no reservations about charging anyone with a hate crime. The youngest person that I know of we've charged with a hate crime here in Pennsylvania was only 13 years old. So you can only imagine how we will prosecute an adult to the fullest extent of the law. I just want to encourage our Asian community members to call us if they see something that doesn't appear right, or if they're the victim of something that's unjust in their opinion. They can call 911. They can report it to 1-800-4-PA-TIPS. That's a tip line. Or they can call their local law enforcement agency. If it's a hate crime that gets reported to the Pennsylvania State Police, that report will come to my desk right away, and I will be made aware of it, and I will immediately reach out to the victim of that hate crime to make sure all their needs and concerns are taken care of. So I want to thank everyone for taking the time on this call to address these concerns. We saw what happened in Texas, where the gentleman wanted to kill Asian Americans, as well as all the incidents in New York, where they had a rise of crimes against Asian Americans. If you're not aware, after 9/11, crimes against Muslim Americans went up 1,300%, because people were blaming all Muslim, or some hateful groups were blaming Muslim Americans for what happened in 9/11. So we definitely don't want to see that with our Asian American community. And just want to remind them that the Pennsylvania State Police will fully and thoroughly investigate any report of a hate crime So please don't hesitate to report it to us.
Oh, thank you, Sergeant Slayton. We also have with us today a good friend, former executive director of the Squirrel Hill Railroad Coalition, and now the president of the OCA, Asian Pacific American Advocates, a leader in the Asian American community, Marianne Lien. Marianne?
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Franco, and thank you so much for inviting me into this conversation. And what an important conversation it is. I want to thank all of our elected leaders right now for championing, you know, something that is so important to be a voice for us, those that are still some in the shadows, that are too terrified to come and speak, that don't know the language to speak. So thank you very much for being that voice for us. Parnasi said it best, you know, that, you know, it is so important that this is so urgent to get out there and to make sure that we pay attention to the crimes that are being committed. You know, when Representative Gainey, you said that, you know, we need to promote unity, I absolutely, you know, believe wholeheartedly in that. I am a resident here in Squirrel Hill, and there is no more diverse neighborhood than that here, than in Pittsburgh. But what I want to say today is I'd like us to also think about promoting awareness. There are those still out there that believe that Asian Americans don't face discrimination or racism in this country. You know, the outbreak of the COVID-19 reminds us that this is a false assumption. There exist those who have leveraged this disease to justify their racist and bigoted attitudes toward Asians. I myself have faced this personally during a visit to the market last week. I was told that I should take to go and shop with my own kind, that I should take the disease, the virus, and be shipped back to China. Now, that verbal abuse, some would say, is just talk. But we also know what happens as it escalates. We have seen the physical attacks that has happened already to our Asian Americans, those who look Chinese. You know, and so in this way, this legislation couldn't have come at a better time. I'm so pleased that it is, you know, this COVID-19 has unleashed a torrent of hate and violence by bigots who blame us for this global pandemic. We have been intimidated, we have been spat on, physically attacked, bullied, and we've been made to feel that we don't belong. And so I am so encouraged and grateful to our state police to know that we are on the forefront of your awareness, that there is now a statewide, hopefully, way to bring these cases together to see, you know, how many are out there. I know that hundreds, there was a national database that collected 700 cases in just 2 weeks. We know of those 700, hundreds more have been not reported. So thank you all for allowing us to be brought into your attention and to help us resolve some of this hate.
Thank you, Marianne. Really appreciate you participating in this and putting, you know, your personal experience, you know, to help illuminate what Asian Americans are facing. And we know, you know, that people face, you know, verbal abuse. Verbal abuse leads to other things, and we certainly don't want to see that happen. So thank you for stepping forward and being part of this today. I now want to ask Chad Lassiter from the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission to join us with some comments. Chad?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for convening this call. Thank you for all of the dedicated individuals, be you a politician, who's passing this much-needed bill, or just a servant of humanity. Thank you for all of the media that's on this call as well. Thank you for the state police. One of the things that we can agree on, we can easily reach consensus, is that there is a virus of hate that has permeated our democracy for a considerable period of time. What COVID-19 has done is it has found a challenge for us to figure out how we can get into these spaces to deal with it. What we do at the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission as the top civil rights enforcing agency is that we're doing a lot of things around awareness. And so this, for me, is a blessing in disguise, not the racism, not the xenophobia, not the white supremacy, not the fact that the Commonwealth is number eight in the country as it relates to hate groups, but it provides me an opportunity for you all politicians and all of the great work that you do to recognize that PHRC, we're not just the top civil rights enforcement agency from a theoretical standpoint, but when we borrow the work of John Dewey from a pragmatic standpoint, we are implementing things, and it's great that you have us at the table. And my prayer, my ultimate and earnest prayer, is that moving forward, you will have me and my staff in key areas at the table. We're receiving a lot of complaints as it relates to the xenophobia and the outright racism among the Asian American Pacific Islander community. What's important for everyone on the call to know is that we convened something called No Hate in Our State Town Halls. And the No Hate in Our State Town Halls is borrowed from the work of Martin Luther King Jr. and Rabbi Abraham Yahshua Heschel, in which we create this beloved community to go exactly where hate is. And from a community standpoint, from a strengths-based perspective, we convene these town halls so that the community can speak back to some of the challenges that we see. So our Philadelphia regional office sits right in the same catchment area as Chinatown in Philadelphia, the Epic Center, though we know that this xenophobia is spreading throughout the democracy and throughout various counties in Pennsylvania. But the reason why I use that as a case analysis is because there's an opportunity with, and State Senator Farnese knows this, there's a great opportunity with Councilwoman Helen Jim. There's a great opportunity with the Governor's Advisory Commission on Asian American Pacific Islanders, the PHRC Philadelphia Regional Office. We also have the PHRC Philadelphia Advisory Council that's made up of a kaleidoscope of individuals from the community who are very concerned about xenophobia. And so we have to not only stand in theory and practice, but be willing to confront with love individuals who feel as though they need to use the Asian American Pacific Islander community as a scapegoat, to boycott, to engage in destruction of property, i.e. graffiti. And so we also do a lot of work around implicit bias training. We're in the schools, not working on diversity and inclusion, but working on equity and justice, and that's very important. Lieutenant Slayton is part of our interagency task force. The interagency task force is a vanguard of individuals from the Attorney General's office, from the state police, from our advisory council, who are our eyes and ears on the ground in multiple counties, and the Department of Education, Department of Corrections, that meets at the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission once a month to discuss what are some of those trends as it relates to forms of anti-Semitism, forms of hate, forms of bigotry, discrimination. We also are spearheading a LGBT advocacy grant where we have chosen five organizations throughout the Commonwealth who are going to be pushing our LGBT guidelines. So I would encourage everyone to recognize that the racism, the discrimination that occurs, that people can actually file a complaint with the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. We enforce the state laws that prohibit discrimination along the lines of employment, housing, commercial property, education, public accommodations. And ultimately, at the end of the day, with this bill that's going up, if you all can actually advocate for us with regards to an additional complement, the work comes in. We have a total staff of 84. At one point under Governor Corbett, the PHRC had a staff of 240. Philosophically, we cannot do the work, and practically, we cannot do the work in the way that it needs to be. As it was stated before, hate does not take a vacation. Hate does not take a day off. If there were 8 days, hate would be operating for 8 days. And so in order for us to speak back to this hate, one of the ways we can do it is with an additional complement, simply because our staff are trained as civil rights investigators with not only our federal contracts with HUD and EEOC, but once again, the Tree of Life gave us an opportunity to recognize that we have to operate in this space as it pertains to the anti-Semitism. So in ending, I'll just simply say, let's be mindful that we are resilient at this moment, but we have a virus of hate that is not going away, and that virus of hate didn't just occur when Donald Trump became the president of the United States. The virus of hate has always been in our democracy, and we can force the virus of hate out into the dark, the light, because it's hiding in the darkness through this bill, but also through supporting the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission. Humbled to be on this call, looking forward to bringing about justice, standing in solidarity with our brothers and sisters from the Asian American Pacific Islander community.
Thank you, Chairman Lasser. Throughout history, we know that in times of crisis, vulnerable communities and groups of people are often targeted as scapegoats, and unfortunately, this appears to be no exception to that. And I'm glad that my colleagues, state police, and state government are taking this seriously. And with that, let me try and open this up for questions. I don't know how this will work, but we'll try and do this and give everybody an opportunity and folks figure out who might be the most appropriate people to respond. So with that, let me open it up to questions.
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay, who was first person there?
My name is Alex Gross. I'm with DelawareValleyNews.com. I have a question for the state police lieutenant. What happens if if there is a hate crime, but it is investigated by a municipal police department, for example, Philadelphia or a suburban police department? Does the state police get involved in that, or is it handled locally?
So, excellent question. The state police ordinarily would not get involved in that unless I become aware of it through local news media or one of our interagency task force members, and then I would offer some of our state resources to the local police department to assist them with their investigation, which we've done in the past. Or if they're having issues or challenges with their investigation, we also offer to take over the entire investigation. But ordinarily, we will not be notified of that hate crime unless it's public knowledge or the agency requests assistance specifically from the state police.
Anybody else? Hi, Tanya Kirkland, CBS 21. We've been following this, and I just wanted, this could be for anyone. I wanted to know the numbers when we were looking at this. We spoke with our local representative, Representative Kim, and the numbers were low in people reporting that hate crimes have been committed, victims, essentially. Is there any mechanism or tool going to be put into place to allow people to feel more comfortable reporting hate crimes? And will there be security orders and measures to protect those victims?
Well, let me say, and others can respond as well. I mean, that's really the purpose of this press conference, and to get that information out there, to have people know generally that state law enforcement, our state police are engaged in this and available, and we want people to report. One of the problems we have with hate crimes and discrimination throughout the state, that it's for everybody, is that there is chronic underreporting. So we want to make people aware that there is a mechanism at the state police level, and they should also know there's a mechanism with their local law enforcement to be able to report these incidents. We want them to report these incidents and make sure that that's us. So that's really kind of the purpose here, and we want to make sure people feel comfortable reporting. As I said, underreporting is a chronic problem for many groups that are targeted, and hopefully by publicizing this effort by the state police, the effort that we as legislators are doing to enhance the ability of law enforcement to prosecute hate crimes, which is part of the package of bills that we have. So we want that, we have something in place now, but we want to basically create an environment in which we have additional tools to address hate crimes in Pennsylvania. Anybody else is welcome to weigh in.
If I may add, If I may add, this is Lieutenant Slayton again with the State Police. We just released a outreach letter to the members of our Asian American communities. That outreach letter was sent to the Anti-Defamation League, the Human Relations Commission, our interagency task force members, the Coalition Against Hate, as well as today it was released to all major and local news agencies, just reaffirming our commitment to prosecuting hate crimes and trying to provide some level of comfort to the members of our Asian American community to let them know that it's going to be investigated. We can communicate in multiple languages, and here are some options on how to report a hate crime.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
And this is Larry Farnese. Just to follow up again to those comments, you know, we're here today talking specifically within the context of this pandemic and these hate crimes being directed at our Asian American community. But we have, and I've said this before, we have been at this for years. You know, the LGBTQ plus community has come under attack for years. We had an incident a few years ago right here in the city of Philadelphia, which was a hate crime. However, there wasn't legislation on the books at the time to be able to handle that. So, you know, again, you know, at least from my perspective, I am, joining my colleagues in not only casting a light on yet another incidence of where hate crimes exist, but again, you're trying to move the legislators that this is necessary and it has to be a part of our judicial laws here in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Anybody else?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Jeff Bowen from Laura Bucksource. So, and I heard Representative Gainey speaking about unity and sending a message of unity out throughout the community. So one of my questions really is, there are no Republican members of the House or Senate on this call, and I'm wondering about that particular.
We did not make this generally available. We tried to control the number of speakers. I will say that the legislation, the package of bills that have been introduced, and the four of us are the prime sponsors, both in the House and the Senate, do include Republican co-sponsors. So these bills have bipartisan support, and I think the rationale for having Senator Costa, Representative Gainey, and Senator Farnese and I on this call was we were the prime sponsors of this bill and been part of putting together, along with the faith community and organizations representing vulnerable communities and minorities, putting together this Pennsylvania Coalition Against Hate. So I think there is bipartisan goodwill to try and address these issues, and certainly I think there's bipartisan concern about vulnerable communities, and specifically at this time and place, our Asian American friends in our communities.
And the other thing that we do is I think it gives us good opportunity. And I think the opportunity gives us twofold. One is for everybody that's on this call, for you to call your state representative and state senator who's not on the bill and ask them to be on the bill and get their take on the bill. I think that's critical right now. I think particularly because we're going through a time that we're going through, these uncertain times, calling our own state representatives and our state senators to ask them to get on the bill will be critical, but also let you know where they stand in regards to eliminating hate. So I want to encourage that. I definitely want to encourage that. And then secondly, even with the media on here, there's people that's going to be on this bill that to call them and ask them, hey, where are we at on this bill? How do we eliminate hate and how do we unify as a greater American force? So I think there's a couple of things that we can do to ensure that we're building unity. It's a building block, right? So since it's a building block, let's start with call your state rep and state senator. Let's make sure we ask the ones that's not on the bill to get on the bill. Call Thursday. Call the leader of the Republican, Brian Cutler, and ask them, hey, are we going to move these bills? The more help we get from the outside, the stronger it makes us inside. So the more we work together, the more we can get results.
This is Jay Costa just jumping in as well. I just think that as Dan said, there's goodwill among the four caucuses and the administration. I think it was most recently evidenced by the fact that we were able to pull together a $5 million allocation late last year relating to individuals or entities that would be subject to hate crimes. Driving those resources out along those lines was clearly an example of what we can do when we work together. So I do believe that working together in a bipartisan, bicameral way to address what we're talking about exists, and it's just now a function of, you know, getting back to work in Harrisburg and having those conversations. And as Representative Gainey said, the support from the stakeholder community is going to be extremely important as we go forward.
Representative Franco, if I could just jump in on that real quick. Again, I think it's important to underscore this point that not the fact that we are attempting to come together right now and work together, I think that is extremely important, especially at this critical time. But let's be clear, our folks on the other side of the aisle have had numerous opportunities to show where they stand on eradicating hate in their communities a long time before COVID-19 has stricken this Commonwealth and this country. This is another opportunity for them to step up and tell us where they stand. So I really support the words of Representative Gainey there, because this is yet another chance for them. Where do they stand on hate? You know, we live in a Commonwealth where it is still legal to discriminate against people because of who they love. So here's another chance for our colleagues on the other side of the aisle to show where they stand. Let's see what they do.
Yeah, I agree. We need the Republican leaders to be able to move these pieces of legislation forward that would really help address this epidemic of hate in Pennsylvania, and that would be a significant achievement if we were able to get these bills to the floor. Anybody else?
I did have one other follow-up question. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, hi. This is Sherry Melnick with Pennsylvania Legislative Services. So I know that there's Senate Bill 947 and Representative Frankel's Bill HB 2013. Are there any other pieces of legislation addressing hate crimes as part of the package?
We'll get you all the bill numbers on it. But there are companion bills both in the House and the Senate. We'll get you the exact numbers, but one of them basically increases penalties. One of them incorporates civil rights protections for people on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity and expression, which has not been included over the years, something Senator Farnese talked about earlier. One is to help educate police departments, local police, be able to identify hate crimes. Also, a mechanism that we would expand to give universities the tool to have hate crimes reported by students or faculty and staff in an anonymous way that basically is an expansion of the bill that we passed last year that dealt with domestic abuse of women in particular, the Me Too movement. We'll get you those bill numbers now, unless somebody has them on the top of their.
Okay, thank you.
Before we finish, I'll get that for you.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or comments?
Yeah, I did want to ask the attorney. All right, go ahead.
This is Ariel with WESA. I was just wondering, how quickly could these bills be passed? Is it something that we could definitely see by the end of the month, or how quickly could this happen?
This is Jay Costa. I don't expect to see it within the month. I think our number of days here in Harrisburg legislatively would be limited in terms of the manner in which we will have session days. I do believe that we can make a clear case that this is COVID-19 related, particularly among the Asian community. So I do think it puts it in the realm of measures that we will be we've agreed to look at as we go forward, at least for the next several months, couple of months. So we will make it a priority to push it forward.
And that's why one of the things I said is that we need help from the outside. We need the advocacy group. Because right now, you know, and one of the big things I said earlier was I'm glad that the media is on the line. Because the question should be is what is the state house and what is the General Assembly going to do about hate crimes? When are we going to really address hate crimes? When are we going to create a market of change that we talk about changing the whole hate crime industry? And the more that we have media attention on the positive of it to speak to why we need to change it, it'll put pressure on our members to say, listen, we got to address it because it's out there in the media. There's no reason why Asian Americans, Jewish Americans, African Americans, Latino Americans, anything with the last name American throughout the world or anything in the world should have to deal with this level of hate. There's too much right now. There's too much post-traumatic stress right now just dealing with the COVID-19 virus. Now, when you add this to it, that doubles it. So if we really want to address it, this is the push we need. It's a three-prong push. One is from the media to talk about what is the General Assembly going to do to address hate crime. Secondly, from the advocacy community to put in calls to your state reps and senators to say, hey, why aren't you on this bill? How can you help push this bill? And the third thing is for me, Jay, Frank, and Senator Fravizzi. Did I get it right? I want to make sure I got it right. That we keep pushing the bill.
To give you all you folks the legislation, the bills, the House bill numbers are House Bill 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. The Senate bills are Senate Bill 943, Senate Bill 944, 945, and 947. And I also want to correct one thing. We actually technically don't have a hate crime statute in Pennsylvania. We do have an ethnic intimidation statute in Pennsylvania. So these bills would amend that statute in some cases and be freestanding legislation in other cases.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Go ahead. Who's this? Yes. Hello?
This is Jack Reinhardt from Fox 56 News. I believe CBS 21 had asked this question earlier, but I apologize. My signal had broken up. But do you have a number of how much hate crimes have increased since the outbreak against Asian Americans in Pennsylvania?
Thank you.
Chairman Lasser, do you have those numbers? Or?
I don't have those numbers readily available in front of me. Lieutenant Slayton, do you have any track on that, any tracking numbers, the trend?
Well, as of this date, the Pennsylvania State Police has not investigated any crimes against Asian Americans. Again, that's not to say local law enforcement has not, but none have been brought to my attention.
Well, you know, anecdotally, we know this is happening. We have enough evidence and people that bring it to our attention, but we haven't. It's the numbers and statistics lag. And as I've said before, and I know this, intimately from the standpoint of acts of anti-Semitism across Pennsylvania, that they have exploded up to, I think, over 70% in the last 2 years. And that's just recorded acts. One of the things that we know is a chronic problem is the underreporting of these things because people don't feel comfortable. And this effort that we're engaged in here today with you and in the press in particular is to help people understand that they should feel safe to be able to report these things and to seek help for acts of hatred and discrimination that they may be experiencing at this time of national and international crisis.
Yeah, Representative Frank, if I could just say, I think you're exactly right. And you know, just to give another example, I mean, I represent Larry Bardese. I represent the first senatorial district right here in Philadelphia. And you can imagine what the extensive businesses and other industry located right here in this district. But when the news of the coronavirus broke and the social distancing measures were first put into place, you know, the first calls I got were not about essential businesses being open or courts or even employment, but they were about the Asian American community who were literally frightened by the words that were coming out of national leadership. So, I mean, that's you know, I don't, we may not have actual numbers, but I can tell you that, as Representative Franklin said, there is significant evidence out there that it's happening.
Thank you.
Okay. Any final questions, yeah, comments?
Yeah, I would like to ask Ms. Leon, a question, actually, with regards to the incident she was sharing about, if that's not a problem.
Sure.
Ms. Leon, did you actually file a police report on that incident at all?
And no, I did not. So this is
any particular reason why not?
So here I am. So if I can, I can let you know, I didn't, because at the time, you know, it doesn't occur to one that this is what you're to do. You're in a state of shock. I'm in a state of shock, right? So I had, you know, the individual was bigger than I was afraid. Afraid because, you know, and what's running through your head is, you know, is he going to come over? Is he going to be pulling off, you know, the handkerchief around my mouth? Is he going to spit on me? Is he, you know, and so all of this is going through my mind because I'm also responsible for other lives. So, you know, at the moment, I didn't think about doing that. And later, you know, I thought about maybe I should at least let our, you know, officials know, you know, the police know, at least the city police know that this had occurred. But it is a problem because we think, well, I think physically you get attacked. And so, you know, with all that is happening right now, do I bother them with this sort of thing? And so this is why a lot of cases are not being reported right now. You know, I forget which reporter, maybe it was yourself, that asked the question, you know, how many cases are there? I can tell you anecdotally through OCA, you know, I myself heard secondhand, some firsthand, from all the different stratas of our society, from college students who have been telling me stories about, you know, being shunted. So there's a lot of shunning that's going on because of their racial background. Some have cried on my shoulders because, you know, the remarks are, I'm not even Chinese, I'm a, you know, the scapegoat. Then there are others that are elderly that are afraid to go out because they've heard about a friend, you know, that has been pushed aside. So you know, I'm very pleased that this letter from our state police have come out. I will certainly share it. We will translate it and share it widely so that my community knows that these are the steps to do it. This is the number to call. And it's important for us to get these numbers and data together.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions? Great. Well, I want to thank certainly my colleagues and all the, somebody else.
Can I just share something based on the last question? This is Robin Burstein from ADL. The question about the documentation and where you can find documentation. ADL has, and I just looked it up, ADL's been working with a couple of different organizations, and this by no means is a complete reporting because people underreport. But as of March 26th, we had heard from our Center on Extremism 44 reports of Asian Americans, Pacific Islander individuals being threatened and harassed on the street. And that's on our website at ADL.org. And we're collaborating right now with the Asian Pacific Policy and Planning Council and the Chinese for Affirmative Action to start documenting these. And you can see lists of what's been going on for the reporters if they want to do a little bit of additional research.
Thanks, Robin.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, again, I want to thank all those who participated today, my colleagues, Marion, the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission, our state police very grateful for the work you're doing here while we await trying to get the legislation to help give you additional tools. And for all the press that were on the call today, thank you for being here and listening to this and hopefully getting the word out that we have the backs of our Asian American neighbors. Thanks again. Be well, be safe, everybody.